So good to have you all with us. We'd like to open our convention with the singing of the first verse of hymn 127. The first verse of hymn 127. We'll begin with our morning devotions. We're going to ask Brother Merv to read the morning resolve, Merv Honecker, and then we'll have Brother Lou Garrison read the vow, and Brother Walt Schroeder the manna. Brother Merv.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assistant grace I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sanctifying the flesh and its interests, that I may attend unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discomfort, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
Vow unto the Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interests of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings, to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and that remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways, as being of the adversary. I further vow that, with the exception below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself towards those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone unless the door of the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wives, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
Manna for May 24th. Love is not easily provoked. 1 Corinthians 13:5. However, natural depravity and heredity and nervous disorders may tend toward the spirit of fretfulness, taciturnity, touchiness, and every heart filled with the Lord's Spirit must oppose this disposition to evil in his flesh and must wage a good warfare against it. It will not do to say it is my way, for all the ways of the fallen nature are bad. It is the business of the new nature to overcome the old nature in this as well as in other works of the flesh and the devil. And few show to our friends and households more than this of the power of the grace of love. Excuse me. This grace, as it grows, should make every child of God sweet-tempered. Love is not easily provoked.
Thank you, brethren. Now I ask Brother Bill Gill and Brother Steve Palmgren to come forward. And we'll ask Brother Bill to ask an opening prayer on the convention and the welcome. Brother Bill.
Our dear Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, we are here this morning to again praise thy name and thy wonderful plan of the ages, remembering our dear Lord and his sacrifice for us, and that you may grant each one here a blessing this morning, especially on the words that are to be spoken from our speakers and the study and the fellowship especially also, and that we may have renewed zeal to proclaim thy good tidings, to build one another up in this most holy faith. And we give thanks for this morning and say it all through Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. So nice to have you and Sister Estelle with us. And now we'll turn the meeting over to Brother Steve Palmgren, who will give the welcome address.
Well, it's my pleasure to bring you greetings and a warm welcome from the Puget Sound Ecclesia. We want to thank each of you for coming. It's just a real blessing to see your smiling faces out there. And we also want to thank each of the speakers. You know, these services take much time and preparation. And we know they really are a labor of love on our behalf. For me, and I'm sure it's the same for each of you, the start of a convention's always kind of exciting. You know, what will the discourses be like? What treasures of truths will the brethren share with us? It's also a time of fellowship where we can discuss the truth far into the evening. But perhaps most of all, it's a time for reflection. As we listen to these discourses, how much can we take home and apply? The theme text this year, and maybe before I mention that, I was thinking too that I don't know if everybody noticed the picture on the front of the study. It's a very interesting story behind that picture. I guess Darcy's not here, but anyway, it was a very. We had some pretty good discussions when I first came into the truth on that particular picture. And no picture's perfect, you know. And usually we ask the brethren to kind of look for what's good with things. Well, this kind of like to look at what maybe be wrong with it. There's some neat aspects about it having all of the elements in it. But it's not perfect, and a picture on this can't be. So if you get a chance, you might think about the picture and see if you can see anything that maybe shouldn't be quite together, things like that. So give it some thought, and let me know what you think. Well, the theme text for this year is Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. I hope that each of you have had a chance to deeply consider this text in preparation for the study today. The last question on the study is the most important one. What does it fully mean to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God? This is a study about both head and heart. The spirit of the study is how to fight the double-minded man, the compromising spirit. It's about being slain, not literally, not only literally, but by bitter words and arrows from the adversary. It's about love, the love of God and the love of His truth. It's about love that would move brethren to suffer anything for that truth. What are your treasures, brethren? Before our walk is finished, the Lord will know. Today, we will consider some pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Are you willing to be a pilgrim and a stranger? If so, you too, from the depth of your heart, can affirm Hebrews 13:14. Here I have no continuing city, but I seek one to come. Could you do as those in Hebrews 10:34? These took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, in order to stand by and comfort Paul in prison. Are you willing to take joyfully the spoiling of your goods to stand by and assist a brother? Especially a brother that was faithfully suffering reproach for the truth like Paul? As this old order goes down, you may get the chance. But what about now? Are you also willing to set aside earthly things, time, energy, means, ambition, to assist now? Each of us should ask ourselves, am I using up whatever comes into my hands to serve the truth, or do I use them in the preservation of self? As 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So how can we truly become pilgrims and strangers? How can we be free? During various parts of the gospel age, this may have meant different things, yet there was a common thread. Some were pursued to such an extent that they literally took refuge in the wilderness, far up in the mountains. Others were in the heart of Christendom, but still remained free. Because of the Bible, these were given a freedom others could not understand. Even those who had been bound in prison or in dark dungeons, even they, at that very time, expressed how the truth had set them free. John 8:32. This was a freedom of heart and mind that only a few of mankind have ever experienced. Have you experienced that freedom? If not, you're living below your privileges. These were set free from sin and its bondage. These were set free from the weight of self and selfishness. They were set free from the entanglements that hold most to this earth. Recently, I've had a blessing of reading some of the letters from Tyndale to John Frith. And this is when John was in prison awaiting execution. He's really waiting to be burned at the stake. Now, these were encouraging words. I wish I could read the whole thing, but we're going to just take parts of it. Can you imagine writing your closest friend who was just to be sent to the stake? What would he say? Well, here's a few portions. Notice the number of scriptures used and the power that they carry. Okay, here it is. Dearly beloved brother John, your cause is Christ's gospel. Hereby have we perceived love, that he had laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For we suffer with him that we may be glorified with him. Dearly beloved, be of good courage and comfort your soul with the hope of this high reward, and bear the image of Christ in your mortal body, that it may at his coming be made like unto his, immortal. Keep your conscience pure and undefiled, and say against that nothing. Important part of this. If you give yourself, cast yourself, yield yourself, commit yourself wholly and only to your loving Father, then shall his power be in you and make you strong. And that's so strong that you shall feel no pain which would be to another present death. And his Spirit shall speak in you and teach you what to answer according to his promise. We remember this promise, don't we? He shall set out his truth by you wonderfully and work for you above all that your heart can imagine. Look for no man's help. This bringeth the help of God to them that seem to be overcome. There was a few that were overcome, and this could help others to realize. There falleth not a hair till his hour be come, and when his hour is come, necessity carrieth us hence, though we be not willing. But if we be willing, then we have a reward and thank. Fear not the threatening, therefore, neither be overcome of sweet words, and which the twain hypocrites shall assail you. Neither let the persuasions of worldly wisdom bear rule in your heart. Know, though they be your friends that counsel you, let not their visor, and he means let not their eye covering, let their not their eye covering beguile your eyes. Let not your body faint. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The Lord of peace, of hope, and of faith be with you. Amen. William Tyndale. Now, part of another letter I thought was kind of interesting, too. It says, your wife is well content with the will of God. and would not for her sake have the glory of God hindered. William Tyndale. Let's not miss the fact that we too must be faithful. We too are being tested. Will some pressure cause us to compromise and to lay aside our covenant? Or will sweet words or worldly wisdom entice us? Will we learn to touch lightly the things of this earth? Or will we chase after one of the many of mankind's illusions? And they are illusions, brethren. We will have both battles within and without, so we need to be armed. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, in closing, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 4:16 through chapter 5, verse 1. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, verse 18. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Oh, to have a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. That's certainly the objective, isn't it? So let's sing hymn, our theme hymn, number 117. 117.